All right. Good evening, everyone.
Hi. How's it going? I'm outside.
Corey is outside. He wants you to know. He is enjoying the great outdoors.
Yep. I'm at my cousin's house. I'm traveling. And I am sitting outside. It's a, I'm in the backyard up against the house.
Now, why don't you show everyone?
I'll see if we can show everyone. Oh. I don't know if you can really see
it's
much.
It got dark all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. No bugs getting you out there?
What's that?
No bugs getting
I'm
you out there?
Kind of.
Say what?
I have a blanket over my legs just in case.
Oh, okay. All right.
Blaine's not too crazy. I'm visiting my hometown. As you know, my family was visiting last week, and then... I gotta adjust where my head is here. And then my mom and I went to my hometown to visit, and she's been staying here. And I went to Buffalo yesterday, and I went to Con Bravo for the day yesterday and spent the day there, and came back today.
Not so.
And then I'd go back to Cincinnati tomorrow.
You're going back tomorrow, and you're hoping you can get a lot of your family is staying behind for a while.
Well, I mean, my wife and kids are at her parents' house. They're having a staycation.
Oh, okay. I thought they were with you. I didn't realize that.
No. I'm just with my mom for this trip.
Okay.
They are having a staycation, so I'm like kind of alone. I'm on my own for like the next week, so I have plans to do a lot of editing for My Life in Gaming, and I'd also like to finish Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel.
Well, that's been in the works for a while. Once this Framemeister Alternatives project is done, I want to take like a week off of doing anything and really dig into Lost Odyssey, because I want to beat that before Final Fantasy 15 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's part of your motivation behind Trails of Cold Steel too, because I don't want to be working on a big RPG when that comes out.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to play other things. I've spent so much time on Trails of Cold Steel. I feel like if I play or start any other games right now, it's bad news. I should be focusing all of my game time that's not for the channel should be on Trails of Cold Steel.
Yeah. So the Framemeister Alternatives episode, it is, I just realized today, like, you haven't recorded, like, your script is done, but you didn't have time.
Probably Tuesday morning.
So you didn't have time to record it before your trip, but I realized today, like, my stuff, I've got it all paced out. I've got, like, 21 minutes of material that's just me, which I've got the longest section because it is about the OSSC.
Right.
Which is really the main draw, I think, of the episode. Though, I mean, I say that because it's the newest thing that people are excited about, but what a lot of people are looking for, I think, really will be in what's in your section. The really cheap stuff, but they definitely have their downsides, but that a lot of people say, well, that's that. I don't care. That's still what I want. I just want Wayconnect RGB.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of the, that's why we decided to do like a couple of these cheaper ones, because, you know, a lot of people, that's what they want.
And honestly, it can be a good first step in the door. You can start building up your collection of RGB cables while you're using the cheap one. And then you at some point you might be like, okay, you know, I feel ready for that, you know, $200 step or $300 step, you know, for whatever the next device you actually want to use for that upscaling. Or maybe you'll say, maybe I want PVM.
That's kind of what I did when I got that cheap, the composite and S-video scale.
Yep. Do you still have that, by the way? I mean, I know it doesn't work.
Yeah, but the fuse blew
in. Right. I was just asking because, like, I might want some B-roll shots of that.
Yeah, I really wanted to capture some video from it, but I just couldn't get it to power on at all.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, so I've got a decent foothold on the project, but my progress this weekend was heavily stunted because yesterday evening, Game Dave and his wife came here for they're on their way further south for vacation, and they more or less were coming close enough to my place to stop here for the night last night, pick up the PVM that we picked up for Dave a few weeks ago. So it's a big relief to have that out of my taking up space out of my house. Right. And we actually shot a vlog this morning. Because he doesn't have any way to use the 240p test suite, so while he had access to that, we're like, okay, let's like check to make sure the geometry is good. And so we did a little Patreon vlog. Like, it's definitely not any sort of replacement for the proper geometry episode, because we were kind of just like messing around, and you know a heck of a lot more. And you're going to be talking to people who know more.
Skimming it, you guys did, you know, when you got that ruler out, you know, like, that's more than I've done.
Yeah, but, I mean, we were just kind of playing around. But his geometry is, like, super good on that one. I'm a little bit jealous.
I think that all of them are pretty good.
They are. But his is definitely better than mine in terms of geometry. I may tweak mine a little more, but I'm overall happy with where mine's at. So anyway, yeah. they took that, and me and Dave stayed up late talking last night, looking at PVM stuff.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of tired today. So I got a lot of my shot. I got a lot of like pacing. I got the music set and all my parts. I got a lot of my shot sheet written out, but. Got a lot of work to do, so like no promises on exactly when this episode is hitting. I would like for it to hit next weekend, but we're just gonna see. It's the only thing I'm really focused on when I'm at home until it's done, because I want it done so bad. It's probably gonna be the longest RGB episode.
You said it's gonna be over 30 minutes.
I think. Your stuff has to be at least 10
minutes.
Playing
something like low 20s, and no. They just keep on getting longer.
No, it's crazy. But anyway,
something completely different.
Now for something completely different. In preparation, this is kind of a silly thing in a way, but it kind of opens up, I think, a lot of possibilities for the kinds of games we can cover. Something I wanted to get done, you know, I got a capture module installed in a old fat DS. As far as I know, these are the only style of DS that you can get a module installed in. I don't mean 3DS, I mean DS. You have to use the fat, the original fat, and it'd be nice if you could install in one with a better screen or something, but if you search for DS capture, you'll find it right away. And, you know, you might think, well, why didn't you just get one installed in a 3DS? Because then you could do DS and 3DS. Well, because I wanted to be able to capture GBA. Not that I don't have probably better ways to capture GBA as is, but it was just another thing that I wanted to show in the upcoming Game Boy episode, which I'm hoping will release in September.
Yeah. You've already have a fair amount of work done on that.
Yeah, which is exciting. In some ways, it might be a relief. It should be a relief compared to this episode I'm working on now. But I kind of just wanted to be able to compare that. And two, like, if I am going to be capturing DS stuff, I still think it'd be better to do it on an actual DS than a 3DS. I mean, probably roughly the same, but it's just something I wanted to get done because it actually wasn't that expensive to get it done. My dad uses my old fat DS to play.
So you had to buy this one.
Yeah, he plays what was it called? Clubhouse Games, whatever has Solitaire on it, the Nintendo released. He plays that like literally every night and to lull him to sleep. And so I didn't want to take his DS away, so I bought this for $25, and the module itself is like $50, and I paid like $22 to get installed. I mean, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
What baffles me is why, you know, remember we talked to HD Retrovision on the stream several weeks ago, and Stee, as a student project a long time ago, made a very large, very unwieldy video capture device for DS. But
it was like on a big, like,
yeah.
What do like they call it, like a breadboard?
Yeah. And so it was never in any form that he expected to be able to sell. I wish someone would have made either analog video or HDMI. And I don't know why it's not been done for this or 3DS. As far as I know, it's only via a USB. This has a micro, can you kind of see that? Yeah. Got a micro USB installed. Pretty decent installation there. I think that's where the loop goes. It's the stylus. I didn't expect this, but the stylus port is filled up with hot glue. Which, yes. I mean, I know that's, you know, I know hot glue is kind of considered a no-no, but I mean, you know, that looks clean. I mean, what else are they going to plug it with? I guess there's some reason that it's plugged. Like, I guess, like, you couldn't fit the stylus in there because it hit the board, probably. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know what else you would plug that with. I mean, so I'm assuming the installation is probably clean inside, and it's just that the stylus hole is plugged with hot glue. I mean, it looks pretty, pretty clean as far as that sort of thing goes. But anyway, right. So, but you do have to use your computer. You have to use this DS capture software, and I will go to the full screen.
Here's, which is kind of a bummer.
It is a bummer, but it's like,
for you.
Like, I really would like to think of it as a way to play your DS games on the big screen. Yeah. But it's first and foremost capture software, and I haven't even tested any true capture with it yet. But there's several ways you can do it. First of all, there is this split window style, and you can see that they are separate screens here like this. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. I did the little, you know, that thing where it shakes to minimize.
Oh, right.
I just did that on accident.
That's how it happened.
Okay, so I've got these. So, got my DS. You know what's wild?
What's wild?
I totally forgot this, and this completely confused me. So I took my game cart out. I'll turn on.
Oh, yeah, I'm still listening as Corey and Mike.
Oh. So I changed. That's crazy. It's the last time I streamed.
Yeah.
Let me fix that. I fixed it on the other one. I just forgot to fix it here.
Yeah,
there you go. So turn on the DS FAT. And, you know, it says here, I'm sure you really can't see it on the screen there, but it says, there is no DS card insert. There is no game pack insert. Okay, well, I'm going to insert a GBA game pack, and it doesn't detect. I totally forgot that the original DS, you can't hot swap games on from the system menu.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Isn't that so weird?
I never had an original DS, so I wouldn't know.
I don't remember if DS Lite does or not. It's been so long since I've used one.
If you plug
I know DSi, I'm pretty sure you can hot swap DSi, but of course that doesn't have a GBA slot.
Yeah.
So I have to like actually turn this thing, like of course you can't do that with a GBA or any other regular cartridge-based system, but this is a system with a system menu. Like, you would just expect to be able to hot swap games. It's crazy. So what's kind of cool, one thing is this is only for video, by the way. I accidentally grabbed the audio cable instead of the video cable, but I've got this running to the mixer, so that probably
you can't get audio out of it,
right? So sorry that
bummer.
Sounded bad for a second. Yeah, so you do have to capture audio through through a audio app. So you can hear the system clock ticking. So here I've got my micro USB, which is connected to a USB extension and connected to my computer. So watch how fast, once I plug this in, boom, whoa, that just, for some reason.
Did it crash it?
No, it just caused the audio to get really buzzy. That's weird.
Oh, wow, so it is, like, instantaneous.
Yeah. Wow, why is the audio buzzy? I think it's the cable, to be honest. I don't know.
How people are saying it's a ground loop?
Ground loop?
Whoa, static. People are saying static.
Yeah.
On my ears, I have headphones. People are like...
Is it that bad? I mean, I turned the audio way down. You shouldn't really be able to hear it now. Tell me if it's still a problem.
Oh, man. Sorry, everybody. I didn't...
I had no idea it was that loud. It didn't sound that loud to me. So anyway, that pops up really quick. So you can just, you know, double-click these windows and boom, there you got. Full screen, top screen, or full screen, bottom screen.
It didn't sound that loud.
And I can also do the single window mode where I can see both screens stacked on top of each other. On a 1080p screen, it is not an integer scale. But it still looks really good, I think. Part of what I wanted to do this stream for, I just want to get a feel myself, because I've just lightly tested it. I just want to get a feel for if it's enjoyable to play a game this way for an extended time. I did a little lag test earlier. I discovered in doing the FrameMeister Alternatives episode, in a best case scenario, I was shocked. My TV has about 4.5 frames of lag.
Yeah,
which
I remember.
Surprised me.
I'm very surprised about that.
Yeah, because you know it actually handles 240p very well. So I double checked that I've got.
But I've always thought mine was good.
Yeah, I mean I
have it for TV. Yours is what year is your TV?
2012.
All right. Well, mine's only about a year.
Yeah.
2 years older, probably. Or 2 years
new. Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I am not super sensitive to lag, but I was still surprised it was that much. So I did a lag test earlier. And, you know, the interesting thing about doing this capture way, you know, I guess if your system is under load, you know, it could potentially affect the quality of the capture. Or the speed it runs at, or you know, frame rate might drop frames, might be stuttery scrolling. I don't know. So, that's weird. But I did a test with the screens full screen on my. And by the way, here is a GBA cropped window, so you can see that this kind of cuts off a little bit of the system menu, but this is cropped to GBA size, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So you know that's how I set up the stream window. But I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with this? What was I talking about? I don't know. Let's just boot up the game.
Okay, I guess someone said, are we actually going to see any gameplay tonight? It's all right.
Some people get a little impatient.
For the appeal of our streams, we spend a long time
explaining
this stuff before we start.
So I just thought I'd play Mega Man Zero because I want to play sort of a more action-y game.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't played this in a while. But yeah, I just wanted to see whether
this is off the actual card. It's not from the collection that came out on the DS.
Yes, that I've had Mega Man Zero. I had it, like, I got it, I think, the day it came out, and I liked it. I don't think I finished it at that time though. Mm-hmm. And then I played through all four of them. I never got any of the others, but I liked it. And I play through all four on the DS cart compilation, and really liked the first one, hated the second, thought the third was just so-so, and the fourth was pretty good, if I remember. Mm-hmm. But the first one is the most unique. Because like it's sort of mission based, it feels like. It feels like some of the objectives are a little different from the standard Mega Man formula. It just felt a little different. Whereas the other Zero games kind of go back to a standard Mega Man formula, which there's nothing wrong with that, but there's already so many games that do that. And right. This one just feels a little bit different. This is probably, aside from 9 and 10, probably my favorite side-scrolling Mega Man that has released since the Super Nintendo. Yeah.
That's a pretty big compliment.
I mean, the later X games are pretty bad.
That's true.
I think I can just skip this. We are here to watch cutscenes tonight, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I just kind of wanted to... I just wanted to see if I play this for a while, like, if I'm going to be like, yeah, this is a good way. So I did a lag test using this, and the lag didn't seem to be anything more than what I normally get on the TV. So I just wanted to see if I was okay with that. I checked it going to my monitor, and it was about 3 frames of lag.
Okay.
But on my TV, it's about 5. Now, I am noticing, some hitches in the scrolling here and there. I don't...
Yeah, I mean, is that just because of the weird refresh is what it...
I don't know. I don't know if it's that or if my computer is not keeping up with it. But there's definitely... I mean, what you may be seeing could just be the stream not being that smooth.
Right.
I don't even remember if I have it set for 60 frames. I'm pretty sure I don't because I don't think my computer would or my internet would handle it that well.
So is this supposed to be the same Zero for Mega Man X? Just like
yeah, it's a long time later, but it is the original Zero.
Do they ever explain why he has to use like a regular gun, like a handgun, or is he using a handgun?
I don't think. I mean, he traditionally uses a sword, doesn't really use a gun.
Right.
So that's kind of a new thing. You can use a sword. This is like a long, long time after the X games, though. Like, he's a relic, and he doesn't really remember himself or anything. And this scientist, Seal, she's, like, searching for Zero I think, like, she's part of the Resistance. If I remember, she's, like, trying to get him to help their cause. Now, what I'm curious about when I see some frame stuttering in the scrolling, I wonder if I was recording though. I wonder if it's just the way it displays or if it would actually record that way.
Right. Because that might be a deal breaker. It doesn't really bother you, but
yeah, I mean, it would be. I would be bothered by it if it captures that way. But, I mean, you know, I don't expect... I mean, this looks obviously super sharp and clean, but I don't... Even though the Game Boy interface through the GameCube is not going to be as sharp, I don't really foresee this becoming, like, a main go-to method for playing.
Especially now that you have that PVM as well. Do you see yourself using the Game Boy interface?
You know, what's cool about that PVM is it's got an... what they call underscan or over. I mean, you know, there's an overscan button and an underscan button, and GBA on the Game Boy interface basically fills it.
Right, looks really good.
I'm seeing a little slowdown in this. Okay, see there is like when that laser fires. I'm looking at the DS screen right now. There is slowdown when that green laser fires.
So there's a question in the chat saying, is there a way to get the Game Boy interface ultra-low latency to work on an XRGB Mini? You couldn't get it to work, right?
I did get it to work, by running the well, two ways I got to work. Well, no, I think I only got to work one way. It works with RGB on the PAL GameCube.
Okay.
So in other words, for some reason, the Frame Meister will accept accept the ultra low latency refresh over RGB, but not YPBPR.
Right.
Which is kind of weird, but whatever. You know what's interesting? You probably haven't tested it. It won't work on our new PVMs. Ultra low latency won't.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, I didn't really mess with the ultra low latency.
It works on my old one for some reason, but I wouldn't really mess. I wouldn't really use it.
I just think it works on my 2005.
I wouldn't really use it because you couldn't capture with it through the FrameMeister anyway.
Right.
And I think the low latency is fine, I think.
Yeah. I'll try it on my 2005 sometime. Maybe when I get back, since I'm going to have so much free time. Apparently, ultra low latency has a screen tearing problem. Hmm. I've never used it, so.
Yeah, I've used it extremely lightly. Oh, this is 100, only 100 years later? That doesn't seem that big of a deal.
It's a fire siren.
Oh, yeah.
This is how I know that I'm in my hometown. When I hear the siren. We used to hear this way off in the distance back in the house I grew up in. I never heard it so close.
How do I talk? Fuck, there we go.
So hopefully next week, if the FrameMeister Alternatives episode is out by the time we stream, my hope is to do a stream where I'm showing the FrameMeister and the OSSC side by side. If I get my OSSC. My OSSC shipped from the UK on July 11th. It arrived in Chicago on like the 16th, and it finally went through customs and left and got shipped out of Chicago on the 22nd of this month, and then it hasn't been scanned since.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's lost or if something happened. Hopefully it'll be here in time.
Oh, here's I can use the sword by holding the L button, which is activate sub weapon. So I can actually switch these. I can make
that's cool.
I can make the sword my main weapon if I want, which if I remember that's what I did. This I sold, you know, I went through a phase where I sold redundant games, so I bought the DS compilation. I've sold that since. But I went through a phase where I sold redundant games, so I sold my GBA version. I bought this again. There's like a 20 hours file on this. Like, someone like went way all out and doing everything, I guess.
Loved it.
I mean, see, it's unique because it's like you're sent on like specific missions, whereas then the rest of the, I thought that was just so unique, and then the rest of the Zero series kind of kind of just goes back to, you know, oh, just go fight the eight bosses, select them from the menu.
Yeah, this one's definitely doing something different.
Yeah, which, you know, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that, but I it was like, oh, this is cool, this is different.
Actually, I wonder how much the collection goes for now.
No idea. I mean, it was a pretty accurate port, if I remember.
Yeah. Not that bad. It's only like $25.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I since I have beaten them all, I do want to reacquire them all on GBA. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're all cheap.
Yeah, for some reason, a lot of DS games recently have, like, popped up and, like, if things that were getting more and more rare suddenly are available again and they're cheap. Like, we just got a couple of stuff. Like, I got, like, Tactics A2 and we got Revenant Wings for under $20.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was, like, kind of getting expensive for me. But then you see certain things, like, I'm looking right now, like, Dragon Quest IX is now up to, like, $36.
There's that siren again.
Yeah, well, that's like, an actual, like, police siren. That's what happens when you stream outside.
The one thing I don't like about this is that, you know, for GBA, that A is A and B is B. Which is a little, you know, not the most comfortable configuration.
Yeah. General Osimo, I got the assembled one. I just hope it's not lost.
Oh, skill up! I forgot that was a thing.
Got some extra footage to help them out, to help everything get out in time. So hopefully, it'll be here.
Oh wow! They just called that a game over. I didn't have lives. Well, it does say zero times two. I don't know. Maybe I went in with no lives for some reason. That's kind of weird.
Question. If you mod a GameCube for RGB video and use the HD Retrovision component cables, how do they compare to actual component cables? Well, I've never used them. We should try that sometime.
If you mod it for RGB... I mean, those component cables...
It's going to be using...
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they're going to be using the traditional game, Nintendo game port, which that port cannot output... That port cannot output 480p.
Yes, you're going to need the...
Now, I can confirm that the HD Retrovision cables work great on a PAL GameCube, but that was specifically for the purpose of using... specifically for the purpose of using 240p with the Game Boy interface.
Right.
So, yeah, they work great for that, but that's... I mean, I wouldn't go out of your way to use them like that. Like, if you're going to mod your GameCube for RGB, there's no reason to not just use a SCART cable instead. Like, it actually is probably one of the more convenient cables to use for a PAL GameCube, to be entirely honest. But if you're... Like, I mean, I feel like your thinking on that is, okay, I'm going mod for RGB and I'm going to use the component cables to get 480p, but it doesn't work that way.
Right.
Unfortunately. It's not that simple. But if you do want to do, like, the whole PAL GameCube route for the Game Boy interface, in fact, other than the official, I'm borrowing a set of official PAL GameCube cables, other than that, the HD Retrovision cables were the best ones I tried, because the Super Nintendo RGB cables did not look right at all. The picture was very warped. But the HD Retrovision cables look awesome on the PAL GameCube.
Right.
But again, remember, just don't expect to get 480p. Because 480p, no matter what you do, will not come out of that port. You have to be tapping the digital signal. Now, for example, the mod that Badass Consoles is working on, you know, for analog, you can get RGB, you can get VGA, you can get component out of that. But that's because it's, and you can get 480p from those signals, but that's because it's tapping the digital signal. Whatever comes out of that original analog output is never going to output 480p.
Right. There's a lot of text in this game.
No, that's how Mega Man games got eventually, you know. But I kind of liked it in the context of this game because it was kind of like I kind of felt
like you've gone Maverick.
Yeah, but in the Mega Man X games, I thought it was kind of dumb. But like, this has the whole like subplot about the resistance and stuff, and I actually thought it kind of worked. At least because it was kind of a totally new sub series of Mega Man, which, you know, I guess I was willing to accept something kind of different, and this game is kind of different. And that's why I liked it. And then, you know, so that's why I was kind of disappointed that 0, 2, 3, and 4 are, you know, kind of goes back to same old, same old.
Right. I feel like 2, 3, and 4, I didn't even know they existed until, like, that collection came out. So I feel like they probably came out really, really quickly from each other.
Maybe. You know, there's also the ZX game. Oh, I didn't realize that was falling so fast. They're all done by NT Creates.
How many retries do you get? Is that just, like, for the level?
That's just my lives.
Okay. We'll talk about the Game Boy Advance EverDrive. I'm excited about it. I'm really excited to try it. I have no idea what the actual release date is, though. But I'm going to be doing a video on... just a whole bunch of EverDrives. I know that you tried to figure out like a whole schedule. I may have had a chance to really look at it.
Yeah, there's definitely some flaws in that schedule.
Yeah. You know, we just do what we can.
Yep.
That's just.
The main thing is I want to release Game Boy before Final Fantasy 15 comes out, and I want to take like a week off and just soak it in.
Yeah. Between July 15th and August 15th, so two more weeks, it's gonna ship.
So this is... What? Game over? It said two retries, right?
It did
say...
Oh, okay.
It just says game over when you die. So this is... It's uncomfortable doing this A-B thing for me.
Yeah.
I remember Mike... The microphone said that for his 3DS video capture, he's got a GameCube controller mod, which is kind of neat.
Oh, right. Yeah, where it, like, plugs into it. Yeah.
Man, I don't have, like, a... I don't think I have any, like, thing like an E-Tank. Man, I forget how these elf things work. Like, you can equip them to do certain things. And I think I got one. I just forgot to... I think I have to equip it at the base.
Do we like to play our 16-bit and earlier stuff on CRTs when you have the opportunity, or is playing on HDTVs your preference now? I pretty much play anything that's not HD on my PVM these days.
I You know, if I'm like really sitting down to play a game, I'm going to sit here, play on my HD TV with the FrameMeister. But, you know, like I was telling Dave when he was picking up his PVM, like what I've really enjoyed using the PVM for in a lot of ways is just like when I'm like just like testing something or checking something out. Like I like that immediacy of the PVM. Like you just, or, you know, CRT in general, you just turn it on, you turn your system on, boom, it's there on screen. There's no other steps to it. Just, I really like that just immediacy of it. It's just that feels nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge reason for me too. You know, like I feel like it doesn't take as much. Like I can just sit down and play something, although I don't have the opportunity to do that a whole lot.
So how do I download?
With your component switch box, do you know if you plug in another one and doesn't have two outputs, can it still output to two? Are you talking about using, like, essentially extending one of the one port to, like, have another switcher in it? Like, you plug a switcher into one of the ports, it will pass through and still go out to the two outputs, if that's what you mean. It's daisy chained to one when it has two outputs. Yes, it will output to both. Because it'll just treat it like it was a single input. But you can, of course, plug in 5 or whatever to one of those inputs. It's actually something I never really thought about.
Oh, I need to change to type B again. See, I want to equip these, but I... don't remember when or where I can do that.
Yeah, I have no idea what the PVM situation is like on eBay these days. I haven't looked in like a year.
Yeah, it was about a year ago that we got the little ones that we have now.
Yeah. Jeez. I hate bugs. It's a bad thing about being sitting outside. So you're gonna see me go,
See, I'm going up and down this ladder.
See myself get attacked by the bug for a second there, like in the little window. I got to jump.
I'm going up and down this ladder because I'm seeing, like, I see some hitches on the TV, but it happens when I look down at the DS too. So it's just how it works.
Yeah. We have not replaced any capacitors in our PVM, although I have a PVM just kind of sitting there that doesn't work very well, and I'm gonna try and talk to somebody semi-local to me to see if he would be willing to do them, especially for the geometry episode. I don't know if they'll be able to do it or not. Mecha X Crash, we do have a OSSC, and the video should hopefully be out next week.
That's the hope. I'm ready for it to be done.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming, but you know, like, I feel so much better about the video, like, just
then in terms of... started.
Like, yeah, because I didn't know how it was going to turn out. Yeah. And, like, I finally feel good about it.
Yeah. We're currently borrowing... You have two of them in your possession. You have one that you got directly from the creator.
A prototype, and we're also borrowing. I mean, they're essentially the same, but we had some concerns about how the prototype was operating, so we were borrowing one from RetroRGB just to make sure that, like, it's operating in the same way.
Right.
But And then you're getting one like that you purchased, and it's yours. And that's going to be cool, yes, because
that's like the newest or final revision or whatever.
Yeah, and that's a great thing, because we're going to be able to, in future episodes we'll be like, hey, here's what RGB looks like on the Framerizer. Here's what it looks like on the OSSC. So
right, I mean, we felt it was very important for us to we've shown so much of the Framerizer in previous videos.
And really, the OSSC is going to be such a big alternative.
Like, yes, it's important for us to be able to show, what's going on with other things, Because I think that's really important. Were these weather effects here like the last time you played this level?
Yeah.
Seems like he could get up there.
Yeah, you probably, if you have like a certain cyber elf.
Yeah.
You probably could. I don't really remember how all those work. Like, a lot of the levels are shorter. It doesn't really feel like the sole purpose of the level is to get to the boss. Like, it feels like you're there for another purpose. Like, just the structure of the game is just a bit different.
Right.
It's just kind of refreshing.
In lieu of the G-Scart, would you recommend a Matrix Switcher? I really would like to check out the Crosspoint? Is that the Extron Crosspoint? Is that the name of the BNC Switcher? I'd like to try one out. I know that Phonedork had a Crosspoint, and he sold it and like is just using a G-Scart now.
Oh, really? I didn't know he got a G-Scart.
Yep. And he's happy with it.
That's great. Oh, okay. The sword is definitely the way to go. I'm actually going to switch that back to my main, so I don't have to hold L all the time.
Oh yeah, Mecha X crashed. The audio add-on board would be really cool. The way I have mine set up, I'm just going to run audio directly to the capture card that I'm going to be feeding it through to. But mainly, I'm going to be using mine as like a chain out from from a PVM, and it's going to go directly into a capture card. So it's not going to be really to play on my HDTV with. It's going to be more for capturing.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I don't play a lot of 240p stuff on my HDTV anymore. But I want to be able to capture from it any time. So the way I have it all laid out, I'll be able to do
that. The big thing about the OSSC, I think one of the big things for me is that okay, I think the way to beat this guy might just be a run up to him and just start hacking.
Look at that. He just like killed him so easily.
No, I died, almost had him. Yeah. The big thing with the OSSC, I think, is that the color is like...
Yeah, you've been talking about that a
Yeah,
lot.
It's a lot more vivid and accurate. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why did that time not work as well?
I don't know. Do you have a certain item equipped?
No. I don't think so. I like my saber skill went up at some point. I was like tearing them up for some reason. Like sometimes he just stays on one side and it's like, okay, why don't you move? It seemed like it was going really well that one time. I just was like, okay, I'm just going
to
beat him up, and now it's not working at all.
If it only happens when you have this. Certain amount of lives.
Man, I thought I'd be getting off to at least a slightly better start than this.
Mission failed. Yeah, I'm surprised. I think at some point we should switch over to just a regular DS game so you can show how that works as well.
Okay. I was originally, I wanted to stream a DS game, but I couldn't figure out like maybe New Super Mario Brothers, but I couldn't figure out very many good ones that I had that were just like pick up and play. Like, I've got a lot of RPGs on the DS and stuff like that.
You can play some Castlevania games.
Yeah. Like something.
Claimed by Konami, though.
Yeah. But I just don't have like a lot where it would work. Like, at first I thought I was going to maybe play Star Fox Command, but
yeah,
there's also like I thought I could just capture the top screen, but no, you kind of need to see the bottom screen too. So
yeah, the L5, the 20L5 were mostly used in TV stations. It's funny because before I knew like really anything about PBMs for gaming, I had a 20L5 like in my office when I worked in New York. And I didn't even think about it. Like, I never even thought about it at the time.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I was kinda like out of like games for a little bit though at that time too.
Well, you know, I've had a non-working 13-inch PVM. Is it smaller than that? I don't know.
I thought it was like an 8-inch. Maybe it's it's a 13-inch.
Yeah, I think it is. And I've had it for a long time. And I had no idea that they were used for games.
Yeah.
But it never worked since I had. It was free. I just thought it looked cool.
I had kind of a cool meeting with my friend Matt today, who you would know because he's the person who created the music that we use for our intro and our ending and the ending. He gave me a whole bunch of new music to use in future episodes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You shot a little Patreon vlog with him too.
Yep.
I'm excited to see that. I have no idea what he looks like.
Well, I mean, I kind of address him at the beginning. I say, you know, like, he's kind of like, he is like one of the most important people to the show. And
yeah. You know, it's so funny. We got a comment today that said, does anyone else love this show but hate the theme song? I was like, wow. Like, I'm impressed because that is the first time anyone has ever said they don't like the theme song. I was like,
yeah,
that's unique.
No. Yeah, usually
it's... Like, it didn't even make me mad or anything. I was just like, huh, never saw that before.
Yeah.
Like, we consistently get, like, several comments a week just saying, like, this is by far the best theme song on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean... I was surprised. I did not show him that comment because that comment like popped up when I was like with him.
That's so random.
I'm done telling like, oh, you know, like we get comments on about the song, like probably like two or three, like every week, it seems like.
Yeah.
You are just like getting crushed here.
I know. Like, you know what part of it is? I mean, yeah, sure. Let me blame it on the system, but like this A and B angle is super uncomfortable for me.
But
this is going to be an easy fight.
I explained to Matt, I said, you know, like our show would not exist in the form that it does if we had a different song, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it works the way that it works.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was edit. Joe from GameSack who, you know, for a while we only put the full thing on the full intro on bigger episodes.
Right.
And he was the one who convinced us to just put it on every episode.
Well, the only thing that we don't put it on are like stuff that aren't like real episodes,
like the announcement panel videos and stuff like that,
or like, yeah, like panels, or like the like the Patreon videos and stuff. You just have like the short ones for that stuff. But no, he's like, you should use this on everything. So okay,
yeah, we started to, and it's
why is this guy like literally the first boss, like really the first boss?
Yeah, like I'm just doing real, like my hand is cramping. Can you go, really
can you
bad
go to like a
this
different boss?
No, like this is like the first mission.
Wow.
Let me get back to the gun as my main.
We really need to have Joe on stream with us. He was on
like,
I think
the second stream.
Was it the second or third? Yeah, like over a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I ask him like every once in a while, and he says, you know, like I do a lot of my editing in the evening. He's, you know, like us, but. So everyone should tweet to him and say you should be on the My Life in Gaming live streaming on sometime soon. If you don't beat him this time, I think you should play something else. But we have like a whole bunch. Like I think that I talked to Matt today, you know, when I was over there with him. Like I think I asked him if he'd be on the stream sometime. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think, much like my brother, I don't think he, like, kind of, like, knows what streaming is.
Yeah.
You know, like, my brother was like, I've never, last week, man, after, he's like, I've never seen a stream in my life. I didn't even know people did this.
Now, Matt is a little older than you, right?
No. Matt is, he's like 3 years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
I was better friends with his older brother, who is a year younger than me.
Okay, well, see, I thought it was the reverse. I thought Matt was the older brother.
No, Justin is the older brother, who I stayed with when I was in Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday. Showed me his game of Fallout 4. It's the only game he's played since November, and he has over 550 hours of game time. He's one of those people that he completes everything he plays. Like, he completed Fallout 3. Like, it took him like over 300 hours to do everything. Like, all the expansions and everything.
Man, I am doing awful. I don't remember this first thing at all.
This is crazy.
So I mean, like I say, part of it is just I remember like when some of the more like action DS games like Mario Kart DS came out. Like, mm-hmm. I remember it really cramping up my hand, but as I played more and more and more, like, I just got used to it, and it didn't hurt anymore. But going back to this old DS, especially doing this AB, it is not comfortable. So like I say, this would not be my method of choice for playing GBA games, but it's great that I have this option for DS games. And yeah. Maybe I'll play looking at the screen for DS games. Maybe I'll play looking here, even though this is not the grandest screen in the world. So let me.
And grab something else.
I'll grab a DS game. I'll grab a regular DS game.
Okay.
So, God, turn the whole system off.
Yeah, I don't know how it took him 300 hours. I don't even know if he did. I mean, he did everything that there was to do. But, I mean, his Fallout 4 is just, like, 550 hours plus at this point.
So I need to switch to the split window. And I'll put the top screen here. Whoa. Oh, okay. Just let me minimize that.
So I don't know what happened on the channel, but the N64 video RGB episode got a huge boost today. I don't know where.
N64 RGB?
Yeah.
Huh. Like how big?
Like a big spike. It's been going for a little while. I don't know where it got posted.
Like thousands?
No, not like thousands, but like a lot more than it usually gets. Mm.
Yeah, this is a game that I just don't even think about anymore. You know? It was because like they've like so overdone these. But the irony was when this released, this was a huge deal.
Yes.
Because it was like the first time since Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Like this is Super Mario Brothers 5.
Don't you call
I do. What was in the Mario? Like,
Mario 6?
Yeah. For some reason, this feels laggier to me. I tested that a little earlier. I don't know if DS is different for some reason. It feels laggier to me, though, looking at it on the big screen.
Really?
Maybe it's just because I know, you know, Mario so well.
If you look at the screen, does it feel the same way if you're looking at the screen on the DS? Did you 100% complete this game?
I did it in like a matter of days after it came out.
Loved it so much.
Well, no, it was like... it was such a huge deal. And like, yeah. I made a decision before it came out, like I was going to just demolish the game in a couple of days. Because like... It was like the weirdest thing to think about that there was going to be a new Mario game that like I hadn't like a new side-scrolling Mario game for the first time in like nearly two decades.
Yeah.
That I didn't have or didn't complete. Well, I guess two decades is a little bit of an exaggeration.
It's maybe more like one at a time.
Yeah, but...
Wait, this came out 2007?
Six.
Okay, so, I mean, like 15 years it was.
Yeah, it was a big deal in my mind at the time. And now it's like, oh, we're kind of tired of these games because they've overdone it a bit. And they're like all the same, you know?
Yeah, it's more like the look of them, I think.
It's very sterile.
The first time, but then the second time, it's like, all right, well...
Like, the thing is, they've, like, perfected the Mario look. Like, they've...
I've heard you talk about this before.
Yeah, they've got it, like, down to this exact science now of what Mario looks like, but Mario used to have this wildly different style every game.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they've just got this exact look, and it doesn't really deviate from that. And it, I don't know. I kind of wish that they were a little more daring with the style now and then.
Yeah.
There's definitely some jitters, like, looking at this. Like, definitely just some frame drops and stuff. But I really enjoyed New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
But you had a good time playing that four player. So that's why I think.
Yeah,
liked
I and the multiplayer mode in these games, I think, in some ways it ruins them because the way that they play is completely different. But at the same time, it's kind of a fun thing on its own merit. But it. It definitely doesn't play like a traditional Mario game when that happens.
Right.
I liked New Super Mario Brothers Wii a lot, you know, in part, like you said, just because I had a good experience with it. But New Super Mario Brothers U, you know, got day one, of course. But it's like, you know, hey, wow, this is good. But, like, I consciously, it felt bad. You know, me being, you know, the Mario fan that I am, it felt bad, but I made a conscious decision to not get New Super Mario Brothers 2 because it came out, like what, like 3 months or...
It was, like, less than that, I think.
It might have been a little more. It was like somewhere between 3 and 5 months between New Super Mario Brothers 2 on the 3DS and New Super Mario Brothers U at the Wii U launch, and I was like, that's too much even for me. That's too much Mario even for me. Like, I was
like, bought like every like main.
And I skipped. It felt so weird. It felt so weird, but I skipped it, and because I was like, I want New Super Mario Brothers U, the console one that's coming at the launch of the Wii U. I want that to be the special one, you know.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to spoil that experience by playing basically the exact same game a few months prior. You know? Right. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like an idiotic decision on Nintendo's part.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and I actually got New Super Mario Brothers 2 finally for like $15, like, it was like 2 Christmases ago. It was on sale, and I just told my parents, like, hey, maybe get me that.
Apparently there's a Wii hack of a game called Newer Super Mario Brothers. I wonder what it's like.
That's too much. It's too much.
It's too new for me.
But I played it, and it's like, man, like, I just did not enjoy it in the slightest. Like, and not because it was bad. It was just like, I don't know. It makes me sad, though, how overdone. Like, this was such a special thing in 06. It wasn't the greatest Mario game, but it was a special... It was so amazing to see something in this style of gameplay that we hadn't seen in so long, and now it's like, oh, this again.
Yeah, I mean,
it really makes me sad that that's like my attitude when I see a new side scroller Mario now.
Yeah. Well, I think Mario Maker is going to be like the end of the style.
Maybe, like, you know, the weird, like, I don't have Mario Maker, which is, again, makes me sad.
Like, oh, yeah. Adam Zay is saying, give him some credit for Mario 3D Land. 3D Land was amazing.
Yeah. Now, 3D Land didn't make that much of an impression on me at first, but I really like 3D World. You know, for some reason, I've had it on my mind, though, for like a long time to replay 3D Land, because I remember almost nothing about it on the 3DS. And I've kept it in my travel pouch,
yeah,
for a long time, thinking, you know, maybe I'll be in the mood to do a little completion run of it. Right. And I've still never got around to it because I'm always working on other games. I figured that would happen. I just wanted to see. Probably need the mini Mario, or actually need to be small to get to that coin. But yeah, I completed this whole game like within 3 days of its release, because I was like, I just cannot accept the fact that there was going to be a new side-scrolling Mario game that I had not played to death like the others.
Right.
And it was just like, I need this game to be on the same level.
How much do you even remember about this game now?
Very little. You know, it's kind of weird because, oh, again, you know, it's this sterile, polished Mario look that they do now. That's just like, oh, it's like all the other Mario games they make now.
Yeah.
And nothing really makes it feel distinct from the others. But you know, there's no really unique world. Like, they added, I think, two powers. There's the Koopa shell, and is it the penguin, I think, that was new in this one? Penguin suit?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, New Super Mario Brothers Wii really felt like a perfection on this new formula, and everything they've done since then has just felt like retreading old ground. I mean, again, not that any of them are bad, but it's so overdone at this point. But at the same time, you know, I could just endlessly play Mario 1 and 3, like, any day, you know?
Right.
But these, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just, there's too many of them.
It's not special at all.
Yeah. But at the time, it was. And even New Super Mario Brothers, we felt like a big deal because of, one, multiplayer, and two, it was a console game. It was where I felt like these games belonged. And you gotta remember, at that time, like, indie games were still, like, really a pretty newish thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole digital download thing. And now, like, you know, you want to play some brand new platformers, you got some brand new platformers. But right. In 2009, when the Wii game came out, like, yeah, that had been underway for a bit, but it was still kind of a novelty to play 2D games on a console again.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent. But I'm really hoping that Nintendo does something fresh again, like with Mario. Like, they really need to. Like, even if they just make another side scroller, but do it in a wildly different style, like they did with Epic Yarn and Woolly World, you know?
Right.
Like, they just need to do something different. Like, the problem I have with Super Paper Mario is that it was not quite good enough as an RPG and not quite good enough as a platformer. Like, it tried to straddle those two so much. Like, it was like, oh, we're mixing genres, but at the end of the day, it wasn't a very good platformer and it wasn't a very good RPG.
I didn't realize there was any RPG elements to it.
Well, it's structured like an RPG. Like, the thing is, you're side-scrolling, but it's not like challenging platforming. It's just the side-scrolling is more like a mode of travel or something. Yes, you're jumping on platforms and stuff, but it's not like you're like seriously concerned about dodging pits or that the level design has any particular challenge to it. It's just,
now, you didn't like the sticker star? You didn't like it, right?
No, I didn't, which makes me...
Super Paper Mario better than Sticker Star?
I don't know. I need to replay Super Paper Mario. This is dark right here. He pops out of the lava. They pops out of the lava as a dry bones. It's crazy. but I don't know. Like, the thing with Sticker Star, like, that game gets a lot of flack. And just based on its core concepts, I feel like it doesn't really deserve a lot of the hate that it gets just based on the concept, because reading about it, like, I like the idea of Sticker Star because it's like, I like the idea of you kind of take what you find and you use what you find. And that's like, you know, almost a survival sort of thing, you know, something, you know, like Resident Evil, The Last of Us, even to some extent Uncharted. I've always liked the idea how Uncharted is structured, like, You know, you can only hold two guns. You just, you run across a gun, you decide what you want to take, you decide what you want to leave, and you move on. You know, like, I like that idea, and I feel like Paper Mario is kind, or Sticker Stars is kind of like that, to a point where you get the stickers and you're just like, well, you got to manage your inventory, like, and stuff like that. But in practice, the way Sticker Star plays out is, there's no reason to ever fight, because if you fight, you're going to waste stickers. The rewards from the battle are not going to be worth what you lost. So you basically have no incentive to ever fight. And so I was just avoiding battles as best I could. And the other big problem with Sticker Star, which I think I read that they were, planning to improve with Color Splash.
Is Color Splash Wii U?
Yes, and it appears to be very similar core gameplay to
Sticker Star.
To Sticker Star, which, again, I don't have a problem with the concepts of Sticker Star, so I'm still kind of hopeful about Color Splash. Because they said, like, for example, a lot of the bosses in Sticker Star were very obtuse. You would have to go to a boss in Sticker Star. If you didn't have a particular special sticker in your inventory going into that boss, you were screwed. You had no way out of it. And, like, that's just unbelievable design. Like, I just can't believe that they would allow something that bad in a Mario game, because Mario games are, you know, you can count on Mario games usually to not get you stuck, at least, you know?
Yeah.
So I just couldn't believe that they did that. And I think they specifically acknowledged that like they're going to be clearer about what you need to do, which that would solve one of the big problems of Sticker Star. And the other problem is just balance, like make it worth my while, because you don't level up. The only thing is you get stickers and you use stickers in battle. But it's not worth my while to do the battles, because I never got better stickers by actually doing the fights.
Right.
So make it worth my while to fight, and make it clearer what I don't let me get into a boss situation not having the item that I need. Fix those two problems and Sticker Star would have been great. So I'm cautiously optimistic about Color Splash. But I know people are hating on it because Sticker Star wasn't good. But in my opinion, it wasn't the basis of Sticker Star, it was bad. It was the balance and execution.
Right. I saw somebody mention Paper Jam. You didn't play Paper Jam, right?
I haven't played Paper Jam. It's really more of a Mario and Luigi game.
Which you're not a huge fan of.
Yeah, it makes me sad. I mean, maybe I'll play, like, I stopped at Bowser's Inside Story, which is, I think, generally considered the best. And it's definitely better than Partners in Time.
Right.
I didn't like Partners in Time that much. It's definitely better than that, but I still didn't think it was, like, great. Those games, like, rely so heavily on their humor, and I, you know, aren't necessarily that, like, fun to me gameplay-wise. Like, the battles always play out well, but the everything that leads up to that is just blah, 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 you know, and overly tutorialized, like super explained to make real sure you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They get a little tedious. And I a big part of them, of the Mario and Luigi games is the humor, but I think the Paper Mario games tend to be funnier.
Yeah.
So I would be interested. I mean, I'm pretty sure I heard it was better than Dream Team, which I have not played. Like, I heard Dream Team just gets to be a slog. It's just very, it's longer than it should be, and, you know, the pacing in those games is just not that good, in my opinion.
I haven't played any of them. Really? I played Paper Mario.
And see, that's another thing that makes me sad. Like, man, these Mario games that I'm, like, intentionally skipping these days, like...
You just have too much other stuff.
I know, but, like, Mario, like, if 12-year-old Tri were to hear me say that I was, like, skipping Mario games because there was too many Mario games, he would be like, I don't want to know you. I mean, heck, like...
That's like 18, you're in the bad future.
Like 18-year-old and like 22-year-old Tri would be aghast at that, even, you know?
Yeah.
But they've, like, it's really just been since like 2009. It's really just been like the past 5 to 6 years that they've started just way overdoing it. And, like, I guess the big, like, hook that they tried to do for New Super Mario Bros. 2 to make it different was, like, oh, it's, like, all about getting lots and lots and lots of coins. And it's, like, who cares? Okay. Who cares about getting coins in Mario? Like, that's not the point, really.
Also, someone in the chat said I should at least play Superstar Saga.
Yeah, it's been so long since I played it. I just can't. I don't remember it that well. I'm probably going to rebuy it. I'll probably rebuy at least that. And
now that you're okay with getting
boxless,
GBA. I can't do it. Oh yeah, can't do it.
Well, you know, you should adopt mine and Dave's. I don't have room for it. Well, you make room for it. You can find a smaller one that would actually fit on one of your shelves.
Yeah. I'm not there yet.
But you know, I was actually looking at my my empty boxes upstairs. You know that Wario Land 4 that I bought the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got the Wario Land 4 box. But when I bought it, I wasn't positive if I had it. So I made that step. I made a speculative step on a GBA game. I bought a GBA game under the possibility that it could have ended up being card only, but it ended up I had the box. So I haven't officially made the step, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I actually used to have transferred all my Game Boy Advance games to DS cases for a while there, but then I decided to go with original boxes.
Yeah, I don't know. I
like how they look.
That was the biggest criticism against the episode that we did with Dave. And Dave's whole response to that is, I don't like those things because they're putting the games inside a box that isn't the official box. And Dave is like very much about like official stuff. And so he doesn't have a problem with putting them on a display shelf, but putting them in a box that's not the official thing is too far for him. So I agree that we should have acknowledged them. We just didn't really think about it at the time because we were thinking, well, first of all, to be honest, I didn't know that they made cases for original game that fit original Game Boy. I knew about GBA, and even though we acknowledged that you can do GBA, that was not at all the point.
Right. And kind of the entire base of the episode was like, here's this one cool thing.
Right. But we wanted to go through... We wanted to go through some of the ideas that we sort of thought about. Also, how the heck do I get up there now that I fell?
It's very interesting.
We might need to change the thumbnail for this stream.
Oh, now that you're not playing.
Not just playing Mega Man Zero the whole time.
Yeah. Whatever. It's, you know, that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's what ended up happening. It's okay. I think they want people to see that. Okay. But, I mean, for the amount of people that watch the archives, it doesn't matter.
No. That's true.
I mean, it's...
Well, you might want to add New Super Mario Brothers to the game's played list.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You gonna do that right now?
I just did it.
One weird thing about how this game is structured is to go to worlds 4 and 7, you have to beat the boss like in a particular way. Like you have to, like, I think one of them you have to be like small to actually go to the alternate world. Like you have to be like not small but mini, like to go through the path. So it's interesting. Like some of the regular worlds you just like skip during a normal playthrough.
It's been forever since I've played this. That was like such an amazing thing to see, like the huge Mario. That still looks pretty cool. We do a video on SCART switchers, cheap quality versus high quality. Yeah, we actually are definitely planning on doing that. We just have a lot of other things we need to are doing first, but I'm pretty sure the SCART switchers episode will happen at some point this fall.
Yeah. We're probably saying that about more things than we actually have time to do this year.
Yeah. I know, but I feel like SCART switchers is going to happen this one.
Yeah, SCART switchers and geometry are pretty high priorities.
Yeah, like those are like the 300 ones, and like I don't even know what the next like 300 will be after those. I mean, honestly.
I know I can use the... I've got a fire flower on my sub thing, but since I don't have my stylus with me and I don't have a screen protector on this, I'm not willing to touch it.
It's just like in the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, but I can't touch it because I went through the whole DS generation not doing the whole touching with your actual finger thing. Always use the stylus. But then I was finally talked into, you know, okay, put a screen protector on your 3DS and just embrace the touching with your finger. And now I do it. But I don't have it on this, so I won't touch it. I'll only touch a DS or 3DS screen with my bare finger if I got a screen protector on it. Man, I am like so tired. Like, I just woke up too early today.
What about extra matrix switchers? You can... Yeah, I mean, we're gonna, like, lightly cover the extra switch. We don't really have access. Yeah,
it's not... I mean...
If I had access to one, I mean, I would love to show
it. Enough people say that it's, like, the best thing that I don't...
It's just huge.
Enough people say that it's like amazing and perfect that I don't think we need to get our hands on it to like demonstrate, like, okay, yes, we can confirm it is amazing and perfect. Like, if Phone Dork says it's great, then...
Well, no, Phone Dork has a whole bunch of B-roll and stuff of his, so he's
right.
Just...
So we'll acknowledge it, we'll use his material, and, you know, yes. I think that's enough. Like, I don't think that's the solution that most people are going to really find palatable.
Yeah, you need like a big metal rack and everything to hold it in.
Yeah, it's kind of overkill. And people are like, oh, it's not that expensive, but the thing is, to use it, you need specialty cables for every system.
Yes. Yeah, the BNC RGB Matrix. I would love to get one, but I mean, I see that Christopher said that he got one off for $15. If I could find one like that cheap, I would definitely get one. I actually, a friend of mine got me a switcher that is S-Video. An Extron switcher that's
S-Video.
Oh, S-Video.
I got, you know, I thought it was a bigger brand, and I haven't tested to see if it's like any quality loss or anything. But I got from from work recently because it hasn't been used in probably at least 7 years. Maybe not that long, maybe 6 years. A 8x8 S-Video switching matrix.
Okay, so this is like the same kind of deal. Like, it's an Extron, right?
It's not Extron. I thought, for some reason, I thought it was, but it's I think it's called VideoSign or something like that. Some brand I don't know anything about. But, I mean, from when it was actually installed and in use, I remember it being pretty good. Like, it's a small box. It's not big. It's like, I don't know. Like, maybe 8 inches wide.
This one I have is really huge.
I mean, I don't have a particular need of it right now, but, the one I have is not that big. I might end up using it upstairs in some capacity, though. Oh, the other thing that I really liked about New Super Mario Bros. Wii was that was, aside from a brief cameo in Superstar Saga, that was the first time that the Koopa Kids had been back in frickin' forever. Yeah. Which, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Koopa Kids, or the Koopalings, as I think you're technically supposed to call them.
Yeah.
Huge fan. I just always really liked them, and I thought it was sad that they just kind of at some point stopped being a thing. They replaced them with lame, you know, Bowser Jr.
Yeah. I would love to get like a Matrix switcher just to like be able to show. I don't know.
But at least phone door. I'm sure
I can find a use for it. I always find uses for stuff like that. It's somehow. I'm like, oh, I can just...
Are you talking about the Extron specifically?
Yeah, the Matrix.
I don't know. As long as we can show phone dorks, it's like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about that. Like, if I could get one for $15, I definitely would. I would be able to probably find a use for it.
I don't think you'd find one for $15.
Well, someone in the chat said that they got one off eBay recently for $15. But he thinks he got lucky with it. What do we both do as Reborn Retro asks, what we both do as a profession? We both work as video editors. I work freelance and Tri works at a school, like doing a whole bunch of stuff. You do a lot more than just editing.
I shoot and edit.
Yeah. I don't really do a lot of shooting. I mean, I really have no actual training, like, as a videographer, I feel like. And I'm... Like, I think that the stuff that I shoot is, like, much worse than your stuff.
Well, I mean, you learned a heck of a lot.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Starting to do it, because it really was a pretty new experience for you. Like, see, that's so foreign to me. Like, the concept of just being an editor.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've, like, learned how to, like, shoot a whole bunch of stuff based on, like, watching what you do.
I mean, not to say I'm an expert by any means, but I can get the job done.
Yeah. I mean, I have my moments, but overall, like, my camera work is not nearly as good as yours. Tech Assistant Framemeister Alternatives will hopefully be out next weekend. It's like...
Hopefully. It's still a lot of work. We're well into it, but it's still a lot of work ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be the longest RGB episode.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. Like, if your stuff is more than 10 minutes, then it's going to be.
Yeah, I'll be able to let you know that. My stuff probably will be more than 10 minutes. I mean, I think my sections are like... How long do we think we'll be able to get by just get by with My Life in Gaming? No, we don't. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it would take for us to, like, you mean for it to become our, like, main job?
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping within a year that I'm going to be doing what Corey's doing and doing full-time freelance. I hope I can pull that off. You know, and so that's basically going to be balancing my life in gaming with other sources of revenue. But I've, like, accepted that there is a possibility that my life in gaming could never be 100% of my income. But right. I fully believe that absolutely can be a major part of it. And then that way, you know, I can put more time into it. I mean, you know, the sad fact of life is that you got, most people anyway, have to put a significant amount of their time into, I'm not going to get that. There is a way, though, to, if I got that, I think I could go to World 4 instead of 3. But, you know, you got to put a significant amount of your time into something that makes money. And I want a significantly larger part of my money to be my life in gaming so that I can put significantly more time into it. Because right now my work day never ends. You know?
Yeah.
It's tough. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, like, I sometimes say, you know, like, I don't know if we'll be able to, like, make it by just on the show. Someone says, you know, there's only so many episodes to do or so many things to do RGB stuff. And that's very true. I mean, that's why we do, like, a lot of other stuff. I mean,
will never run out of ideas.
Right.
Like,
some might be more popular than others.
And you might be surprised. You think we're going around with RGB stuff? It's going to be even if we ever did, it's going to be years before that happens.
Right.
Years. But I don't think so. There's always something. I mean, you think retro gaming is set, right? Retro gaming is what it is. There's nothing that changes, but there's people changing where retro gaming is all the time.
Right. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that, like, we're doing lots of other stuff as well.
Right. I mean, and I think
we shot a documentary, you know, like, we really want to, we just want to make episodes, videos about stuff that we want to make.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully other people will enjoy them. You know, like, we, you know, like, a lot of times you get channels that are very, like, focused on certain things, or they get, like, pigeonholed into just being known for that. And yes, we are, like, mostly known for RGB stuff, but I think that we have enough other ideas, and some of the stuff could potentially catch on. You know, like I said, we just got back from shooting a documentary with Limited Run Games, and, you know, very much like how Tri did a, like, the interview with the guys from, or the guy with Rand Miller from Myst. I think that's, you know, that's something that we've always, a style of show that we wanted to do since we started the channel.
Mm-hmm. The Limited Run is going to be so different from anything we've done before.
Yeah.
Especially because you're editing that, and you haven't edited one like that yet. And I think your style is going to be, like, so different from my style on that. And I think it's really going to lend itself to making that a super unique video.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited about cutting it and everything, you know, like, it's, and, but doing episodes like that is something that, you know, as we do more of those, mm-hmm. we would love to, like, meet with other people. How long until we sell out and start doing loot crate videos? It's funny to think about that, because, like,
I just don't have any interest in that.
No, we have, like, we'd rather just, like, I think that having two of us doing the channel is, the stream die? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, there it goes. I don't know if it's just my internet connection.
Your outdoor internet.
Yeah. We have no problem. We do have a problem with doing that stuff. We have no desire to do anything like that. We'd rather just like take our time. We'll never like do any loot crate things. We'll never do. We do stuff for like our Patreon subscribers that are just like random things. Like I did a pickup video for Patreon subscribers because like they said, hey, you should do this. But that will never be on our channel as like
main content.
Content that we're that we like pushed out as an episode. Right. Never. We will never do like the video log stuff as our channel's content, and I promise everyone here that that will never happen. I mean, we will do it for Patreon stuff because, you know, like I think that, you know, those people are interested in just seeing like, you know, whatever. Like,
a more
like,
casual. It's a lot more casual, and I think it's okay to do that with your patrons because they're like more interested in seeing that side of you, I guess.
Right.
Which in a lot of ways, I mean that. I think our vlogs come across very similarly to our streams.
Yes.
But sometimes it's a little more
take, like streams as like and like release them as a video. You'll never see it show up in our video list.
Right, exactly. Because... And we could get a lot more views on these streams if we put them live.
Yes.
And you know, and I've said, you know, one day if we feel like our streams like reach a certain point where we're like where they almost become like a like an interview show or something.
Mm-hmm.
If it reaches a certain point where we're like, wow, our streams are like a really high quality and consistently, then maybe we would consider releasing them as a public video. But like, you know, like I said, we could make a. I mean, I don't think they would be a big money thing, but we could make more money off of streams if we release the archives publicly.
But we don't want that like cluttering up.
We don't
our
want
video.
Cluttering up our list, so like we don't. But we could. We could get more people watching. We could make it look like we had more content. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that if that's what your channel is about, but that's not what our channel is about, and we don't want that diluting what we normally do.
Right. And I'm like very proud of the fact that if you look at our video list, it's like over 100 videos of fully produced and precise, like well edited episodes. I'm very proud of the fact that that's when people come to the channel and they see that on the page, you know, they go through the videos like, oh, you know, I feel like they can watch any of the videos and be entertained by it.
Except for maybe Ratchet and Clank Into the Nexus.
Yeah, or Rise, Son of Rome.
I'm so embarrassed by that Best of the Generation video because I've got this bad audio buzz in my feed that I just can't believe I was, like, apparently okay with.
The what?
There's this buzz in my audio on the the top 10 of the Generation video.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And you have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why I thought it was okay.
as Blade Blur says, no update videos. I mean, like, we won't do... I mean, we've done update videos for our patrons.
Mm.
But we'll never, like, push that to the channel.
The only reason we do stuff like announcement videos for, like, conventions is because you kind of have to.
Yeah, and then they as soon as the convention is over, they go away.
Yeah. Like we don't really believe in you know, hey guys, this is going to be our new schedule going forward. You know.
We did that before, and then you know it almost killed us. Like stick it to the schedule.
Did we do that in the video? Oh, well, we did in the video because it was a Patreon announcement video.
Oh, is it?
Like, we did a Patreon announcement video.
Right.
But that's, like, different. Like, things that we think people need to know and they aren't going to know unless it's in the form of a video because, You know, we can say stuff all we want all day on Twitter, but most people who watch our stuff will never see it.
Mm-hmm.
It some things do have to be in the form of a video, but we aren't interested in doing, an announcement video for, you know, just a like an update video of, you know, hey guys, here's what's going on, here's why we haven't released a video in 3 weeks, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll always tell the people in the stream, like, oh, we...
Yeah, we'll say on the stream, but we're not going to, like, put out a whole big video on it.
Right.
I mean, again, I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with that. Like, if that's, like, what your channel needs, but that's just... I don't think that's appropriate for our channel.
Right. I mean, this is stuff that we've talked about this a lot. I mean, that's as Blade Blur says, the catch is if you don't release stuff in a while, people think that ask if you are dead or not. I mean, you'll never see, like...
I mean, the longest lull we've ever had is, what, 3 weeks? Which has happened several times, to be fair.
Right. But we'll always continue to do, like, the live streams. Mm-hmm. We've done live streams even when it's, when there's been, like, a longer period between episodes.
Yeah.
And we tweet about it. We say, oh, we're working on it. But we are constantly working on it. One of us is always working on an episode.
Oh, yeah. We need breaks every now and then. But if one of us is taking a break, the other one probably isn't. Except when Uncharted 4 came out. And probably Final Fantasy 15 for a little while.
Yeah. But, I mean... It's. I don't think we've ever gotten like that, like passionate, just talking about like what we want to do with the channel, like that before, like in the stream. It's kind of funny, but we've talked about it a lot. Now, if you like video log type things, then there is, I feel like there's probably like 15 video. 15 video logs at this point that we've done.
Yeah, and we're like we went through a bad lull where we didn't really give anything to patrons, because mostly I think that was because we were doing weekly content for a while.
And yeah,
it just seemed like, oh my gosh, I just can't possibly do another thing right now.
Yeah, I mean I think we have like 3 or more banked right now for like future.
Maybe 4 or 5, to be honest. Yeah. And we've kind of gotten this mindset right now where if something strikes us, like, ooh, like that might just be a fun, easy thing to do that people might think is a little interesting. But it's not like the kind of thing we would be comfortable releasing to a wider audience, but we're like, you know, patrons might think this is a little fun bonus. Like, I think I mentioned earlier, you know, Dave was here picking up his PVM, and we did a little video log of us, like, checking out the geometry on it. And that's by no means a replacement for our full-fledged geometry episode, but it was just a little fun thing to do, just totally off the cuff. We don't script them. And you know, it's a much more casual thing, and we've got comfortable with the idea of it's okay to do that for a more limited audience.
Right. Let's see this. So in the chat says the giant does text says, "Corey, you are my hero." I don't think I've ever been anybody's hero. Well, maybe.
You were my hero when you got all of that footage for the PS1 episode. Yeah. You were definitely my hero then.
And getting those PVMs for $75 each.
Yes. You were also my hero then.
I was your hero 2 days ago when I got you
Oh, yeah!
Out of Xbox original Xbox component cables.
Like the expensive ones. People, did you know this? That the official Xbox One component cables are getting kind of expensive, too?
Yeah.
Now, they're not nearly as special as the GameCube ones, obviously, but the ones that are available generally now are, you know, pretty cheapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually record some footage, a little bit of Jade Empire, which a viewer of the show guy just gave to you recently. You already had a copy, so you gave it to me.
Right.
Which, is, like, I played just a few minutes of it, but it seems really cool. I'm excited to get to it. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that the text looked a little funny, like almost seemed like some aberrations around it. And I don't know if it was the cables or if that's just how it is. So when
I do wonder if that's the cables, because I was having that with my old set too, and I didn't look into that with the with my new set.
Speaking of Xbox, I recently learned through the comments that Xbox model 1.6, which I believe is the last original Xbox model, there's a small handful of games that it does not play correctly in 480p mode. Like the image is just completely scrambled. And Panzer Dragoon Orta is one of those games. And there are some workarounds, which I have not really investigated yet. But yeah, so I discovered I do in fact have a Xbox 1.6, which in some ways is good. I believe they are more, there's something funny about the video encoder. I don't know if the video output is worse for any systems, but it's just that it does not work correctly in 480p mode for a small handful of games. But you don't have to worry about that clock capacitor leaking issue.
Right.
Mine is marked on the bottom of the system as being manufactured in January 05, so it's a very late system. It was less than a year before the Xbox 360 came out. So yeah, I discovered what Xbox I have.
That's kind of a bummer.
Well, I don't know, though. It's like, it's still kind of cool, I think, that, like, I've got probably a longer-lasting Xbox.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I think this whole, like, capturing in 480p is, like, something that we've talked about recently, and I'm switching over to capturing 480p directly instead of going through the FrameMaster now. I'm going to capture it 480p natively, and then zoom it up in Premiere, because that's felt like it looks a lot better.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a bummer, though. I mean, I had to remove the capacitor on mine. It was really easy. I just opened it up and broke it off. I actually opened up my Xbox for the second time recently to change the drive belt.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a good tips and tweaks in the future.
I would love to do, like, come up with, like, a list of several, like, easy fixes for, like, reliable fixes for, you know, disk drive issues in maybe various systems.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked into replacement drives for, like, PS1 and stuff, and it sounds like nothing is very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, there's a lot, and they're really cheap, but I've heard that there are some issues. I'd love to test it for myself, because, like, I've got two PS1 systems that aren't particularly usable as is, anyway, so, I mean, it couldn't hurt to try.
It's big. It's not like a tarantula, but it's like big enough to, like, creep me out.
Yeah, well, I'll just play through half the game in an hour.
Oh, it's, wow, it is 11.
So...
Well, Giant Dust Tech, we do show... we do show emulators. Like, we started addressing emulators a bit more with, like, the last couple RGB episodes.
The truth is, it's just not our area of expertise.
Right. Oh, look, it's Xavian.
Whoa! Well, hold on, let me see if I can... move your window without screwing anything up. There we go. I can, yeah, Xavier, I was telling you, you might not have been here a second ago, but I was just telling Corey that I've got an Xbox 1.6, which apparently you don't have to worry about the clock capacitor and that. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read that on the systems that don't have the bad clock capacitor, if you tear it off, you actually have to replace it.
Oh, on yours. On mine, I could just break it off.
Right. On mine, I think you have to replace it if you tear it off. But I don't think it's an issue. I don't think it is. Oh, look, there's two of you on the stream now.
Me?
Yeah. There, I'll put Mario big again. So... yeah, so...
Oh, that's in the screen.
Yeah, I'm on the thing. So,
Warrior of Rock is asking how many Crater Lake shirts you have.
I've got,
one.
I've got one. But, I've also got almost... identical shirt that says Yosemite National Park. I got them on the same trip, and it was funny. This was last year. Actually, we went to Crater Lake just a few days after I did the interview with Rand Miller. This was last summer. Me and my parents took a trip out west, and we went to Crater Lake. And which was amazing, by the way. Absolutely loved it. I wanted to go for a long time. In fact, a trip several years ago, we went to Crater Lake, but it was foggy. We could not. We were at Crater Lake, but we could not see Crater Lake. So we went back last year. We made it a priority, and it was awesome. But it was funny because I went to the gift shop. My mom was already in there. She was already holding in her hands this shirt. Because she said, I saw this, and she said, I knew this was the one, because it's, you know, it's very, like, it looks like the t-shirt that you would have bought from the camp store in the 80s, you know? It's a very retro-looking shirt, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm way into that. And then a few days later, we went to Yosemite, and they had the almost exact same design. Like, the same color shirt, same colors, but the only downside to that one is it doesn't have this, like, very retro-y looking font. Like, it's a more modern-looking font, but it's still in the same spirit. So, I like both of those shirts. I wear it a lot because it's a very comfortable shirt. So, yeah. You see it on the stream a lot. There have been a few people... have said, oh, you must live on the West Coast when they see the Crater Lake shirt. And I'm like, no. I like traveling out west. I like deserts. Deserts and mountains.
So Mega X Crash asked us earlier, we've heard of Keptris' Zimbo 3000 FPGA console. Have you?
Say what?
Keptris' Zimba 3000 FPGA console.
What is the FPGA supposed to be? I mean, is it NES? What is it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the Zimba 3000.
What does it play?
I don't know. It's a great name, though. Giant Dust Tech. I used to be on the East Coast. Now I'm Midwest. Unfortunate in some ways, and very fortunate.
Well, you're still Eastern time zone.
I still represent the East Coast.
Your Eastern time zone still counts. I mean, I'm, you know, 3-4 hours from the coast. But, I mean, that doesn't make me not East Coast.
The Zimba 3000 is supposed to be a clone console that will implement many, perhaps nearly all consoles at the 16-bit generation and earlier.
So it's an FPGA console. If it's Kevtris, I'm going to assume it's got some high-quality RGB or HDMI out. Are we talking a cartridge-based console, or is it loading ROMs?
I don't know.
That sounds awesome, it's though.
Emulation for all game systems from Atari to PS1.
Hmm.
Wow.
PS1. Wow. Wow. But does it support ROMs and original cartridges? That sounds crazy ambitious.
Yeah.
But considering what he pulled off with the NES HDMI mod, I'll believe it.
I kind of feel like if anyone's going to pull it off, it's going to be him.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's crazy. I'd love to know more. Tell Kevtris we want to try his prototype.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been in contact with him a few times.
No, not really. I have been in contact with a few people. I've been in contact with people who have been in contact with him. But from what I've heard,
he is aware of us and knows
us. He is aware of us. He saw the high def NES video and liked it. I heard that, but I've been told he's very old school, in terms of his web communications, and mm-hmm. You're not likely to find him outside of certain. I mean, I'm pretty old school in some ways about how I communicate with the web, but I'm under the impression that he is more old school. I heard he just hangs out in certain chat rooms and stuff. So. Yeah. I don't think I have direct access to Kevtris, but tell people we would make his system a top priority if we could try it out.
Yeah. Vetronomic asks us, could you guys recommend any good RGB to HDMI component converters besides the Framemeister? So look for next week. Right, hopefully next week it'll be out, a 30-plus minute on that very subject.
Yeah.
And also your favorite PS1 games.
Whew. Man, that's tough. That's tough. Let me look behind me here. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if I could pick. I'm really having a hard time just like picking.
I mean, I love all of the I love all the PS1 Final Fantasy games. All of them, every single one of them. I'm actually not that big of a fan of Tactics, though. Sorry. I love
Blaster Master blasting again.
I tested it out. You know, again, doesn't seem that bad. How bad could it be?
Yeah.
I love the Mega Man Legends games, 1 and 2. Love Wild Arms. Wild Arms Grandia. You know, Grandia is one of those games that, like, just steadily, like, rises up in my mind after I've played it. Like, at the time, I was like, you know, hey, the gameplay was okay, but I loved the characters and the story. And it's just that has lingered in my mind. And I say Grandia, but when I actually play, I was like, no, Grandia is not one of my favorite PS1 games. Oh, Resident Evil 1, obviously. Yeah. Obviously. And 2 and 3, but 1 is probably my favorite of those.
I'd probably say, like, sometimes I think that Klonoa might be my favorite PlayStation
game. Really? Wow.
It's certainly the one I played through the most.
Wow. I mean, it's a shorter game.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Reggie B. Cable, I kind of called it before I even said that. I didn't see his post.
You've got some wild footage of Klonoa 2 in the upcoming episode.
Yeah, I got to try it through other sources to see if I get the
see
same
if that. Effect. Yeah, I don't know if it's. But it feels to me like it's not S-Video that's doing it.
No,
yeah, I think it's the way it processes.
It's it could be like that.
That's
I'm showing the SCART to HDMI, like the one is like on Amazon, that's like it's cheaper and it's, you know, popular. And I talk a little bit about if the system doesn't support SCART, you can get one of those additions that plugs into it, and it has a composite and S-video.
Mm-hmm.
I plugged an S-video from a PS2.
Even though it supports RGB, but... Uh-oh. Corey froze. Corey? Oh, no. Oh, no. Corey is trapped in the Skype. Well, at least it's not the stream going down, because I see people still responding here. So this is good news. Yeah, Klonoa is unfortunately very expensive. The Wii version is still affordable, I think. I used to have it. I got it for stupid cheap, and then I sold it. I beat it, and I sold it. I wish I still had it. I should get it again before it gets bad, because I think it's already a little more than I'd like to pay. But, you know, like Corey said, he was sitting outside, so it's possible his internet finally gave out. Maybe his laptop battery died. Anyone have any pressing last minute questions? If I lost Corey, I might just go ahead and into precinct, because I am tired. I might go to bed in a few minutes. Normally I'd go to bed closer to midnight, but I'm just really tired today. I set my alarm because I thought, I don't want to waste my whole day. I regret that. I wish I slept in. Anything new with GC Video? You know, I've heard that. You know, as far as I know, I still don't think he's launched it. But the most recent update I heard is that it really for real is pretty soon. But as far as the plug and play, I believe that's still a good ways off. Don't look for that super super soon. Oh, Blade Boy got the PSP Go, see? Telling ya, it's not that bad. It's kind of worth it. Oh, here comes Corey.
Are you there?
There he is.
Okay, are you still live?
Yeah, I mean, I was getting ready to cut it off, but...
I don't know what happened. Like, everything froze, but... I just quit the program and... Plug back in, and it was okay.
What do we think of Sonic Mania? I think we talked about that last week, did we?
I'm excited about it.
I'm not.
Yeah. Well, you're not a big...
I'm not a Sonic fan. That trailer did not not bring up any warm feelings.
I'm waiting for the... It's chat to come back up. All right. Sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm just kind of going back to the chat here. I don't know. Are you still there?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm losing you now.
No, I'm good. Panasonic Q has worse video quality. Is that really true?
Yeah, I haven't even heard that. Oh, maybe it doesn't have a digital out. Yeah. I thought it did, though.
Yeah, I think it does. I just noticed that the stream was running on my computer. That's unnecessary.
Yeah. Since we're living it.
Yep.
So what do we have planned for next week? If I have my OSSC, then I'm going to do a side-by-side.
Regardless of whether the episode came out.
Right, if my OSSC is...
If your OSSC comes.
Yes. As I explained earlier, it's been in limbo. It left Chicago on the 22nd and has not been scanned since. So it might be lost.
That's scary.
Yeah, you know, that's the risk you take.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping you get it, because I could sure use some extra help getting more footage of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's showing. I have set it to give me updates on my phone if it gets scanned again, but it's just, hopefully, I mean, it passed through customs and left Chicago on July 22nd at 2:10.
Do we own a pet? I would like to own a dog, but my current job situation doesn't really make that practical. So that would, if I can move into full-time freelance sometime, that's a high priority, is getting a dog for me.
I wouldn't peg you as a dog guy.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm kind of obsessed with dogs. I mean, I don't really talk about it a lot, but I love dogs. Love dogs. Not. I mean, cats are okay. I'm more accepting of them than I used to be. Actually, when I was like 5 years old, like I really, really, really wanted a cat. But then, like at some point, I was just became much more of a dog guy. And I had a dog from 9 years old until 2005.
Really?
Which was right before I graduated from college, but I just, you know, I live by myself, I work all day, I can't, you know, it wouldn't be fair to a dog to have a dog right now, but if I do full-time freelance, that is a high priority.
I'm a cat person. I grew up with cats. Although I did have a dog when I was very young, but I'm a cat person. I would love to have a cat, but my wife does not want to have a cat, and said if we get a cat, it cannot sleep on our bed, and that like kind of would depress me too much. so I just would rather not have a cat than to have a cat and not let it sleep on my bed.
Yeah, the big rule in my house was, you know, my dog was not allowed on furniture in any capacity. So I've like always been kind of used to that, the pets not being on furniture. So, you know, it's the whole cat situation is very different for me. Because, you know, you can't tell a cat to not do that, but
right.
You know, you can train a dog not to. What was funny about my dog was though, like it as soon as she was in like another house, or in a hotel room, or something like that, she'd get on the couch. Because in a different environment, she figured out that was a rule specific to the house. And, you know, if you were at some other place, you know, you just get on the furniture until you're told otherwise. But I think that's kind of smart.
I know in your setup video, you said you were as thrifty as possible with your setup. Do you have a ballpark figure as how much the whole thing, console screen setup, has cost you?
I don't want to think about.
I bought, like, some of the stuff has been purchased like over such a long period of time. I mean, a lot of that stuff I didn't really start putting together till I moved into a house and could do it. I mean, like a lot of screens were like, I mean, the PVMs, you know, my main PVM, it was free. A lot of, like, the LEDs were, like, under $20. My TV, my regular TV was, I think it was, like, $350. I mean, I don't know, like, how much everything cost.
Have we ever retro gamed on a 4x3 LCD ED TV? I have tested it briefly. I didn't think it looked amazing for 240p. I show one in the GameCube episode, you know, which obviously that's the native resolution for 480p GameCube. I a lot of people swear by. I didn't think it was anything all that special. What headphones are these? I have to always have to look at them just like I did in the tour episode. It's HD555 Sennheiser. There's newer models of them by now, but I really like them because when I'm talking, my voice doesn't sound muffled to me because air sound passes in and out of them very clearly. So don't use this kind of headphone if, like, you don't want to disturb other people, like if you're listening to something on it. Other people will be able to hear it more easily than some other types of headphones. But for streaming, it's really good because you can hear everything clearly in them and you can hear yourself. So they're kind of ideal for that kind of thing. So more so than this specific model, I would look for open air headphones. But Sennheiser is a really, really good brand. So definitely look for Sennheiser open air headphones. They're a little more expensive, but I think they're worth it.
If I get cheap Wii component cables from Walmart, will Progressive Skin work on GameCube games?
Yes.
That was quick.
It's true. It is true.
Well, is that going to do it for this week?
Huh, I think so. So possibly OSSC / Framemeister stream next week.
Yeah.
If you have it. Possibly this weekend, the whole Framemeister Alternatives episode.
Yeah, ideally next weekend it'll be out. I'll be working on that on limited run games all week.
Yeah, so it's going to be a crazy week, but right now I'm just looking forward to going to bed. Real quick, I see one more question. Either of you could ever consider buying into the arcade hardware scene? Corey has dipped his toe into that, and we're going to do an episode on that hopefully later this year.
It's going to be a pretty big episode.
It'll be a pretty big deal. Yeah,
like Super Guns and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's going to be cool. I'm not
we're
big
arcade. We're like a cheap one, a mid-range one that is pretty new, and a really expensive one.
Mm-hmm. I'm not big into arcade, but I think it's really interesting. I just don't play that style of game a lot, but I'm going to have fun collaborating with Corey on that episode, I think. So.
Yeah, I think that's, you're going to come here.
That's the plan. I think because we're going to make sure we really make that shine. It's going to be good. All right. Well, thanks everyone for watching, and we will see you next Sunday. Week. Possibly you might see a video from us before then. Don't know. I wish I could promise it. It's going to be really, really hard, but I'm going to do my best. Good night, everyone.
Later.